You know, we talked a lot yesterday, of course, about, and really since it started and started talking about it, the changes in D.C. in terms of the federal takeover of policing and, you know, scenes of DEA agents and National Guard in D.C. It's pretty stunning stuff, and there's a lot of debate on both sides about whether it's necessary. And, you know, D.C.'s always had an issue with crime in certain neighborhoods, and I'm just curious, and we'll ask about Chris Murphy and some other stuff too, but I was just really curious of what it's like living there and, you know, being in that area and working there. Lisa Hagen with C.T. Mirror, you can go to ctmirror.org and read all of her stuff. She's the only... you know, C.T. Mirror is the only Connecticut publication that has a full-time D.C. correspondent, and that is Lisa. Lisa joins us here on Brian and Company. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. How long have you been down there?
Going on 11 years now.
And, you know, have I don't know where you've lived, if you lived over the border in Virginia. I don't know the dynamic, but, you know, I visited D.C. from time to time over decades, and you know, a good friend of mine from college lives in a pretty rough neighborhood, you know, with the metal on the windows and everything like that. I'm just curious, has it changed for you over the last decade in terms of feeling safe and what you see on a daily basis?
Yeah, it's really changed over the last decade that I've been here. I mean, and again, you know, about half my time here has been during COVID. So obviously there's been, you know, decreases in crime when there was lockdown, and then everyone came out of lockdown and that changed a bit. And then D.C. had a bit of a crime surge in 2023. But over the last 2 years, it's decreased. And, you know, at the same time, you know, you can parse data all you want, but I know a lot of people go based on perception and if they've experienced crime and what they've been able to see. So, you know, everyone has a bit of a different experience, but it's been in ebbs and flows. But at least based on the data right now, I mean, D.C. is in a decline of violent crime. And so I think that's left a lot of people wondering what role the National Guard will play, federal agents, what the end goal is. I still wonder what the barometer for success will look like for President Trump, you know, when this 30 days is met and if he decides to extend it or get Congress involved.
Yeah, almost separate from that, because I don't know what the DEA or the National Guard would have to do with it. But for me, D.C. is different, right? Because it has all these monuments and these incredible museums, and it's such a important piece of our culture, right? And so I'm curious, do you see more or less, like, whether it's homeless people in certain places or things aren't as pristine as maybe they were or could be? Like, I feel like our monuments and stuff should be, they should be really in really great shape as people from all over the world come to see us. This is a representation of who we are. Has that, what does that look like?
That's hard to say. I mean, as someone who has lived here for over a decade, I'm not, I go to museums a lot, but I'm not frequenting monuments as much just because, because, you know, just daily life doing different things. But I haven't gotten the indication on a personal level what I've observed of these things being under greater attack or not being pristine or clean. I think it's really a case-by-case basis. That's not to say that if you're a tourist and you're going to really popular areas of the city that you're not going to see homeless encampments or you're not going to come into contact with some sort of crime. But I think the indication, and I'm someone who grew up in New Jersey, so I frequented New York City a lot. And so, you know, whether I feel like I experienced D.C. differently than maybe even New York in terms of cleanliness or pristine or what have you. But, you know, I think it's really based on perception. And I think, you know, this is all to say that President Trump has had a pretty adversarial relationship with D.C. since the beginning. And so this is, you know, not the most surprising, but definitely unprecedented.
Yeah, it's interesting to point out. I mean, Muriel Bowser, as she tried resistance in the first, you know, this has been written about a lot in the last day, tried resistance in the first term, is trying cooperation and end up with the, you know, very similar results in terms of the relationship with the White House. We're talking with Lisa Hagen with C.T. Mirror here on Brian and Company. I'm curious on another front before I get to some more of your repertorial stuff. Do you notice whether tourism is up or down there? You know, obviously there's all this where, you know, fewer people might be coming to the States, you know, fewer Americans maybe traveling abroad. Does it feel any different at all, or is it still crazy crowded?
I wouldn't say it feels totally different. Yeah, I do wonder from like an international tourism perspective, if people are coming here as much. I don't know the extent of that, but no, I mean, it's DC in the summer always gets really crowded. It's so hot here and humid. I know it's not that different from Connecticut, but it's pretty brutal down here. But people flock and come down here regardless and are visiting museums and really, you know, popular tourist spots. So I haven't seen a huge market difference in, you know, my decade of being down here.
Listen, I'll just tell you, I think St. Louis and Washington, D.C. in the summertime can be the most brutal. So it is hot and humid in Connecticut, but it's not D.C. D.C. is next level. I'm curious, you know, I'm reading this piece in Politico from this morning, you know, about Senator Murphy and some of his votes on that appropriations panel that deals with Homeland Security, and he's been the lone nay vote on a bunch of them. And it's a piece... written by Jennifer Schultes. Do you think he's running for president? Do you think that's what, is he trying to just raise his profile, be a national figure, or do you think he actually is thinking about 2028?
$1 million question that I would love to get a definitive answer to. You know, I've been covering Connecticut down here for 3 years, and even before he raised his national profile, it's a question that I, and of course other reporters, you know, have asked and have to ask. And I think he tends to still lean on the fact that he is, you know, he's a senator. He's trying to have current resistance, right? Not just, you know, in an election year, thinking about pushing back against the Trump administration, but doing that now. And he talks about, you know, building a coalition and mobilizing people so that we're not just, you know, people are not just doing it during an election year. But, you know, based on his fundraising and is traveling around the country, you know, he's raising his profile, whether that means he will run for president, he'll try to have a higher leadership position in the Senate. I mean, he's definitely boosting his national profile for sure.
Yeah. Gosh, you authentic journalists are so good at not, you know, staying within repertorial and not giving an opinion. I'm fascinated that, you know, would you take your reporter hat and tell me if you think that's what his ambition is?
I've asked him. I really don't know. I mean, it's really, right, the dynamic has changed over the last few years. I mean, there was this massively crowded 2020 primary on the Democratic side, and then with all these new faces and this really deep bench, and then it's Biden that emerges, someone who's been an establishment figure and has run for president 3 times. And then, you know, 4 years later, Trump comes in, wins it again, and, you know, Kamala Harris stepped up, and you know, I just don't even know what the bench looks like. I think things have been recalibrated. So, I mean, Murphy didn't run in 2020 and there was all these new faces. And then again, Kamala Harris has tried to run. I don't know if she'll run again, but I think just the calculus has changed for all of them. So I don't know if that was even on his radar or something he was seriously considering in 2020. But I do wonder if that has changed now, just given how much the Democratic Party has changed and is just doing a full recalibration.
Yeah, I'll throw another haymaker at you. Lisa Hagan, CT Mirror here on Brian and Company. Obviously, in a slow time, the CT one is, you know, the only real newsy thing we got going right now, right? And Larson is late 70s, already primaried by 3 people, could be more. Is there concern, like, in the Democratic Party that there's, you know, some aging? You got Rose DeLauro just had surgery. There's some vulnerability here. I'm wondering how nervous Democrats are and how nervous the Larson camp is.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing it's not just even in Connecticut. It's just kind of all over the country and other districts of just, and frankly, not really in the super vulnerable ones. I mean, Connecticut one has got to be one of the most Democratic in the state and probably one of the most Democratic in the country. And so you're seeing just people willing to kind of just throw their hats in the ring, whether someone is stepping aside or not, and trying to, you know, change the Democratic Party. I mean, we were just talking about that in the other question. I mean, Democrats are kind of in a self-reflection moment of where they want to go and how they want to rebuild the party. And, you know, 2026, those midterms will be the first indication of that. And so I think what's interesting in Connecticut one, though, I'll say, is that, you know, you look at someone like Luke Bronin, he's not the only one running, but obviously he's the biggest name. And, you know, he's an established person. He's been the mayor of Hartford. I mean, he's not an insurgent. He is the one primarying an incumbent, but he has a name and, you know, he is an establishment figure. So I think there's a bit of a difference in that primary compared to other primaries where we'll see people just kind of come from out of nowhere almost, like an AOC or a Mamdani. So I think there's a little bit of a difference in that one.
Yeah. Hey, Lisa, thanks for playing ball. We really appreciate it. And it's good to get some insight from somebody who's actually down there living their life day to day.
Yeah, appreciate it. Always good to talk.